What's going on, people? This is Lecrae.
Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Kel Mitchell.
Vicky Wine is that would be me.
Yo, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, Brian Hooks.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Dr. Dorinda Clark Cole.
Yo, what up, y'all? It's your boy, Kev, on stage.
Yo, what's up? This is Doug E. Fresh.
What up? It's DJ Emmy for that Breakfast Club.
What's up, everybody? It's Mr. Talkbox.
Hello there. This is Kim Burrell.
Yo, what's up, everybody? This is Cardi Cortez.
Well, hello there. I am Jacalyn Carr.
Good afternoon. It's Jess with the Mess.
Hey, everyone. This is Faith Jesse.
My name is Kid from Kid and Play.
Peace to the planet. Charlamagne the God here.
What's up, y'all? Las Vegas. It's Said Entertainer. I want you to download and tune into the greatest gospel station in the Las Vegas area.
It's the number one gospel station.
Number one gospel station.
Number one gospel radio.
Check it out. I need you to do me a favor. I need you to go download Anointed Radio app.
From either the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
For 24/7 gospel.
Make sure to check out their website at anointedradionetwork.com.
Music for the soul, music for your spirit, music to lift your heart.
That soul food for your body, that energy for your spirit.
Gospel in the morning, gospel for lunch, gospel at dinner, and then you go to sleep. You know what? Guess what? You're dreaming about some gospel.
Sometimes these are the songs that really uplift us and get us through some of the tough times.
Salute Pastor Jay Calhoun and Anointed Radio.
No, your boy wouldn't steer you wrong. Go listen right now. You feel me?
Check them out without no doubt, because gospel is what it's all about.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Anointed Radio Network. Listen, we are Las Vegas number one Christian radio show. So thank you for tuning in. If you have not already, make sure you go and download the Anointed Radio app. Follow us on all social media platforms, which is under Anointed Radio. It's at Las Vegas Anointed Radio. Make sure you follow out right as well. Pastor Jay, our founder of Anointed Radio, amazing man of God. And so we are just thankful for him today for just allowing us. I'm sitting in for him today. So as y'all see, I'm not Pastor Jay, but hey, I'm sitting in for Pastor Jay today. My name is Prophetess Tish, and I have the amazing co-host today, Keisha Latour. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? I'm glad to have you on.
Awesome. So with that, real quick, I want to say where you can kind of find us at, and then we are going to move over into the scripture and prayer before getting the show started. So with that, again, Prophetess Tish, you can find me on all social media platforms under Fervently Creations. You can also visit my website at www.ferventlycreations.com. Keisha, tell them how they can find you.
They can find me on www.keishalatoy.net. You can email me at info@keishalatoy.net.
Awesome. So listen, our scripture for today is coming out of Numbers chapter 23, verses 19. It says, God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? Listen, I just want to encourage anyone that is watching today. If God has made you a promise, if God has said something, believe it, no matter what it looks like, no matter how the obstacles are coming up and the trials and the tribulations that come, the test that comes with it, stand firm on his word. If God said it, it's going to come. And sometimes God may give us insight on something, or he may say, you know, hey, you're going to be X, Y, and Z, or you are, I have this calling for you. You're going to meet X, Y, and Z, whatever it is. And we don't see it quickly. You know, we've all have went into this microwave faith, right? Where we want things to happen just suddenly. And some things do not happen suddenly. Some things you're going to have to wait. Some things is going to take a year or two. It may take a couple months. It may take another decade or so, but still stand on that word. And so a lot of times we falter in that and we waver in that and we lose faith in the wait. Do not lose faith in your wait. Keisha, what do you have to say about that?
And you know, that's so true, because a lot of times we feel as though when we are waiting in our waiting, we feel as though it's supposed to be coming right at that time, or it's supposed to be happening at that time. But when we wait in God and know that God, our timing is not his timing and our thoughts are not his thoughts. So therefore, we can just stand on the word of God and know that his promises is going to, it's going to come true. He's not a lying. He doesn't lie, and he's not a lying God. So therefore, yes, yeah, stand on his word and know that his promises will come true.
Amen. Amen. Yes. So with that, we just want to pray and we want to encourage all that is listening today, that we just ask right now, Father God, that you build up their strength, Lord God, that you build up their faith, Lord God. Help them to be able to see that thing come to pass. Let them know that you are not a man that you should lie. Let them understand the character of you and that your character is not one that lies, that you are not man. And that if you said that a thing shall happen, that a thing shall be, that it shall be. If you have told them that they will receive healing, that healing shall come in their body. If you told them that they will get a job, that the job is going to come. If you told them that they were going to be next for the promotion, that it shall be, Lord God. And so we just ask right now that you strengthen their arms, that you send Aaron and hers to them right now, Lord God, wherever they stand at, to strengthen their arms, even while they're going through the battle, to help them understand that they will not lose the battle, whatever it is that they're going through. And so, Father God, we thank you. We thank you in advance for their victory. Thank you in advance for healing. We thank you in advance for the promotion. We thank you in advance for the elevation. We thank you in advance for the new job. We thank you in advance for the restoration in the marriages. Lord God, we thank you right now in advance for the recompense right now that's coming into their families, into their finances, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you for being God, Lord God. Even once we are weak in faith, Lord God, we thank you right now, Lord God, that you are one that shall not lie. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So we're going to bring up our guests and figure out how we can connect with this man of God and actually see what it is that he has to say on this first real quick.
How you doing?
Hi, how are you?
I'm Michael.
Hi.
So Michael, tell the people how they can connect with you, how they can follow you on your social media platforms.
Yeah, so my social media, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, is at I am Kleos. That's IAMKLEOS. Again, that's I am Kleos. IAMKLEOS. And my Facebook is Michael Kleos Chen, just like the name. So, yeah, that's how you can connect.
Awesome. So, icebreaker question, right? What is the time that you can think of that you just had to wait for a thing that God has said was going to come to pass? And it took it just a little bit longer than what you was wanting, that of understanding that his timing was not your timing.
I'm still in that waiting process. So I would say now. Seriously, yeah. Now I'm now in that waiting process. But the Lord has been teaching me patience, and since patience is one of the fruits of the spirit, I'm okay with that.
That's awesome. I think once it comes to waiting, sometimes I have to realize that some things that I have asked him for in certain seasons that I wasn't even mature enough to even receive. It's kind of like, you know, your kids probably asking for a credit card and you're like, you know what? No, not right now. They're asking for a card. It's just like, so some things that I was asking God for, you know, I had to realize that my wait was not a no, that it was just, you know, not right now. And sometimes it's not a not right now. It's not with them around. You know, sometimes you have to shake that tree a little bit, and God has to remove people to even give you that victory. So like once we think of Gideon, right? And Gideon, the battle was won, you know, he was going to win the battle. It was already a set fight, you know, but he had to get rid of some people, get rid of some baggage. So sometimes those are things that we have to keep in mind in the waiting season. So I'm like you. I have some things too as well that I am waiting on. I'm in a waiting season, but But at the same time, listen, praise God, I'm also in a season where I know that I'm walking in prayers of yesteryears. I ain't gonna say yesterday, but I'm walking in some prayers from yesteryears, from previous times. And so I'm grateful for that. So trying to embrace that and also understanding, hey, you know what? I have evidence that God is going to do what it is that he said he's going to do. What about you, Keisha?
Yes, you know what? Because I can remember, I'm like Michael said, he's waiting. I'm still, I think we all have some things that we're waiting on God for. And a lot of times we be wanting, you know, like the scripture was, we was talking about earlier, the scripture, when it talks about his time is not our timing and our thoughts are not his thoughts. So we have to make sure, you know, we tell God, you know, listen, if we really trust him, we got to really show that we trust him. And a lot of times we don't, you know, we have to ask ourselves, now, I know I said I trust God, but do I really trust him? Because I'm really waiting for God to like, God, seriously, did you hear when I prayed to you? Or are you listening to me? I'm really, really waiting on you. But, you know, God knows, he knows our hearts, although he knows when we need it and at the time, at the right time. So his timing is awesome. So we just have to remember to just wait on him and trust him, completely trust him, and know that when he do, you know, do what he say he gonna do, it's gonna all come to, it's gonna just be, it's gonna blow our minds, basically. It's gonna blow our minds big time. So
I believe if I would have got some money in wrong seasons, I would have or something. I'm saying money, but even once it comes to money, like just other blessings as well. I said that intangible. Let's talk about spiritual, right? Sometimes if I would have got spiritual gifts in the wrong season, in the wrong time, that I could have truly damaged a lot of people. I could have truly hurt a lot of people. So you know, this things that we have to trust God's timing. And certain things once we get it, because our character still is being built up for what it is that our actual purpose here on earth. So as long as you're still breathing, there's still purpose. Like, you're not done yet. There's still purpose to it. So
that's good. That's good. And
hallelujah. Absolutely.
Did you want to add to that, Michael, before we go into this multifaceted person that you are?
I mean, you all said it all. I mean, that is so true. Whether it came to finances, spiritual gifts, stuff that you pray for, and you know, and you like, you get frustrated with God, but then you remember the children of Israel and how they got frustrated. They murmured and complained, and they, and that's what kept them much longer. So it's like, it might feel good to the flesh to just complain and just be angry with God.
Right.
But then once you finally get to that destination, it's like, man, you're right. If I would have got this a year ago or 3 years ago, man, I would not have been much. I would have wasted it. I would have mishandled it. He won't give you what you can't handle. Thank the Lord, because that's his grace and mercy. And so, yes, the waiting is very annoying. However, when you finally do get it, it's like, wow, Lord, you know, because now you're on the other side of it. It's like, okay, well, thank you, Lord. I'm glad you didn't make me wait for that. Yeah. You know, so I can really enjoy it and be able to do the right things with it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I love how you brought the children of Israel and saying, because they murmured and complained, he gave them over into it. Like, hey, this is what y'all complain about. Like, so you know, man. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, Michael, let's talk a little bit about yourself. Can you give us just a brief description of all the things that you have going on, all the things that you have accomplished already? I hate to be judgmental and say at such a young age, but at such a young age, all the things that you have accomplished so far in life.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So I am Michael Cleos Chin. I am a faith-based filmmaker. I don't make cheesy church films. I make real, raw, authentic films that no matter what background you come from, church world or secular background, you'll still receive the universal message of love, you know? And so I like to make sure that it's relatable to whoever. Because, I mean, you got the church folk watching the secular stuff because they like that drama. And so in my stuff, I don't put any nudity. I don't put any cussing. But I still give you that drama that you feel. So I currently have 3 movies out on Tubi that are free to stream. You don't even need an account. And if you got a smart TV, you got Tubi. If you got a smartphone, you can go download the Tubi app. And if you have a computer, go to TubiTV.com. And check out my Christian film. So I have a Christian drama called The Wages of Sin. And that log line is, a respected pastor betrays his family, congregation, and community when temptation leads him to commit an unthinkable sin that lands him in prison. So that's The Wages of Sin. It's a juicy Christian drama. And it currently has over 2 million views on Tubi. Yes, hallelujah. I have another Christian drama out now called A Mother's Daughter. That log line is, a naive young lady finds herself in a world of trouble when falling for the wrong guy turns her life into complete and utter chaos. So that's A Mother's Daughter. And that currently has over 5.2 million streams on Tubi right now. And then I have a Christian superhero movie called The Keys of the Kingdom. And that log line goes as follows. As Satan plots to destroy the world, an archangel arrives to awaken an army of souls in hopes of defeating the demon once and for all. And that's The Keys of the Kingdom. All three movies are free to stream on Tubi. And then I do have a book out that my wife and I, we co-authored together, even though she did way more of the writing. I just threw my little two cents in there. And that's called Almost Not Born. And just like the character, it's a fictional story. And it's just like the character Destiny, who, just like the title says, she was almost not born. She was almost aborted. And we see why through the book, the enemy did not want her to be born, because just like her name, she had a big destiny. And so that book talks about the warfare of the mind, how Satan doesn't have power over you. He can only suggest things and get you to use the power that works within you to create or manifest that reality that he wants you to have, which is the fear-based reality. So it's the war of the mind and just choosing faith, choosing the Lord Jesus Christ, and watching him completely transform your life for the better. So that's available, Almost Not Born. That's available on Amazon. And then my other three movies, The Wages of Sin, The Keys of the Kingdom, and A Mother's Daughter, are free to stream on Tubi.
I love it. Wow. What influenced you to write those movies, or to even get into filming? What influenced you to do that?
So I've always been an actor. I've always had the passion to act ever since I could remember, right? I went to a performing arts elementary, middle, and high school. And then I was like, you know, I'm hearing, oh, well, you're going to get a lot of no's in acting. You're going to get a lot of no's. And at the same time, I'm watching these very interesting TV shows. And I'm like, man, I see what they did, but I wish the story would have gone like this. Or, man, it'd be cool if this would have turned out to be faith-based, or I could see the God message in this. And if they would just, so I said, you know, that's my call to action. Let me go ahead and make my own films. And then that way I can tell myself yes and act in my own films whenever I want. And that's really fell in love with storytelling, writing, and putting the films together. I mean, I just fell in love with that. And so that's what got me into filmmaking.
I did see you in
Keys of the Kingdom.
Keys of the Kingdom. I did see you in that one. I watched enough of it to kind of see. I was like, hold on, I think that's him.
Yes.
So, I want to talk before we go so deep into it, because I got a chance to watch Wages of Sin. And one thing about it was the transparency of what it is that Christians actually deal with, the temptations, and how no one is above just actually falling into temptation. So with that, do you mind actually speaking on the importance of being transparent in the Christian community?
Ooh, yes, yes, yes. Man, because when you go back to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, right? Their problem was they seemed to be perfect on the outside, but their heart was, I mean, it was terrible, right? And so that's what we see a lot going on today. We see a lot of people who seem to be perfect, our religious leaders who seem to be perfect on the outside. Because of the lack of humility, which causes a person not to be transparent because they want to still have this image, right? It causes them to not be transparent. Now that when the fall happens, that person gonna hit the ground hard, versus being transparent and saying, hey, look, I'm just like you are. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing good but the Father. Jesus himself said that, and he was perfect as a human. You know, he was God, of course, but he was also in the form of man. And so it's like, he said, it's nothing good but the Father. And so it's like, you know, it's just the absence of humility is what leads people to not be transparent. And so it's important to be humble, because pride comes before the fall. So be humble, stay humble, and be transparent, because that's how you draw a genuine crowd to you. And those souls that are supposed to genuinely be tied to you, because they see what's in them, they see that within you. And now the healing happens together collectively, versus look at me, I'm on this pedestal, you're below me and what I say. And, you know, like, no, like, let's come together as a community and truly heal. And the only way to do that is when everyone is truly, genuinely transparent. Yeah. Because you can't fake energy. You can't fake, you know, the spiritual world. So it's just like, you can sense when someone's not being genuine and transparent. You might not have the words to say, something just not right about this person. Why is they not being trans? They're not being genuinely themselves. And we as humans can sense that, because we're not dummies. Yeah, it's important to be transparent. Absolutely.
I love that, because, you know, I think a lot of times we feel as though being transparent will put us out there. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I think I heard someone say one time, well, I don't want to be so transparent because I don't want them to know all of my business. But, you know, when you are actually sharing your story, God would give you however much you need to share. He will let you know what you need to give to the people in order to help them come out of whatever it is that you're sharing. And a lot of times sharing and being transparent help someone else to even heal from what they've went through. So I really truly believe that, and I agree with you when it comes to when you said transparency and how it is important to share and how to be transparent, because that helps someone else. That's how you help someone else to grow, and you grow as well when you are sharing your story. You're actually helping yourself. So I love that. That's good. You are supposed to be transparent. I believe that God wants us to, you know, be transparent in this season.
Exactly. I believe the only way that we're actually going to reach those, not even just those above us, but especially the younger generations, is that we're going to have to be completely open. Like with me, I have a 19-year-old and I have a 17-year-old. So I have to understand that they have a world of knowledge at their fingers. And so if I don't actually teach and guide them and lead them the right way, then the world is going to teach them. And so we have to be transparent, and we have to say, you know what? I've been there, done that. I was the one that smoked weed. I was the one that was drunk. I was the one that was adulteress. I was the one that was this, that, and actually being transparent. So now I've grabbed their attention. I've made myself relatable. And once I've made myself relatable to you, now I can actually empower you, encourage you, and give you instructions. But until if I don't ever make myself relatable to you, you're not going to want to hear nothing I say. You're not going to hear, you're not even going to receive the word of God. If I come to you, just immediately take a Bible and just start beating you over the head with it, and you shouldn't do this, and you should do that. I've already closed their ears, and so they're not listening. So I have to be able to get to a point to where I'm like, okay, let me relate to you. Let me tell you how I was the one that did this. Or once they're saying, well, I'm hurt, I'm hurt because of this, and I don't believe God because of X, Y, and Z. Well, you know what? I too was molested. I too was raped. I too was this. That it. And so now you got it to where, okay, well, how did you get over that? How did you forgive? Now, once you go into it, I can still talk to you about forgiveness and still not even really mention the word of God, but still mention, well, it says in John chapter, but I can still give them scripture. Now I have drawn them in. I have reeled them in to where now they're more open to receive once I actually do take them directly to the word. But that comes with us actually having to know our word as well, because just like with your movies, right? Mm-hmm. The rape is in there. The molestation is in there. Mm-hmm. The alcoholics is in there. The murders is in. All this stuff is in the Bible. The self-righteous is in there. You know, the adulterers are in there. It's so much things that is in the Bible. I love reading the Bible. The Bible is juicy. The Bible is juicy. Yeah, I'm you be reading like, hold on. So, Tamar did what? Oh, yeah. Tamar smooth. She's slick. Like she really got Judah. Like she was good with that. Like, that's very interesting.
Right. Exactly. Yep.
So, so in Wages of Sin, right? That one was a, and you hit a lot of good topics in there. Mm-hmm. It was the unforgiveness with the, can I be so transparent to talk about the movie?
Absolutely. It's been out for what, I think 2 years now? Absolutely.
Okay, awesome. All right. So so with this, you're very transparent in talking about some of the things that take place in Christian life. You first, you have a father and a son that originally was not talking because the son apparently had issues with the father, and kind of blamed the father for the death of the mother due to adultery, right? And so, but the father still passes down, I would say, his legacy. I'm going to use that, but he still passes down a church to him. And the son that was so judgmental, so hypocritical towards the father, eventually end up falling into the same sins of adultery. And there you have the young minister that is looking, and he's seeing stuff. He's discerning what is going on, but still not sure and not knowing who to talk to actually say, hey, this is wrong. This isn't right. Because it then, even once he talked, he's still trying to speak like, okay, if I got a higher figure or whatever. You some people say Jezebel all the time, but let me talk about this Delilah. You got this Delilah spirit that actually comes out and is enticing. Like that, she said this was her plan. It was all part of her plan. So sometimes you have that person that comes out that is deliberately trying to cause you to fall. They're looking for your weakness, like Delilah. They're looking for your weakness, trying to find an area to catch you in to cause you to fall. Next thing you know, now you also have what you also see, you know, in the Bible. And back in, I can't even just say the Bible. We can even go back to our great greats. You have this 30-something-year-old man that is having sex with a 16-year-old, a minor, who eventually ends up getting pregnant. And eventually the marriage is on the rocks. He's trying to stay with his wife, but she keeps enticing him, and he gets him finally to a hotel and threatens to expose him, and he kills her. He strangles her. So now he's in jail. The whole time the enemy is just talking to him like you fell right into my plan. And so unfortunately, you know how you say you watch stuff and you're like, you know what? I really wish it would have ended a different way. So the wages of sin is death. And that's basically the scripture that it goes off. So of course the pastor ended up dying, but I would have loved to seen the pastor being able to convert over and begin to preach and teach those that were actually locked up to where they are though they're in there, that once they get out, he would have actually been able to fed into them, being that minister behind closed doors, behind the walls in a prison cell. But it was a phenomenal storyline. Let's talk about it. Look, I didn't give everybody a brief summary. So if you have not watched,
told everybody the movie.
Yeah, you know, so I didn't told you the movie. So now you got to go see it yourself and
see, exactly see how it plays out.
Because I still left out some parts, but still, that's kind of the gist of it. And this deacon is just like, man, I got to pray for this dude. I really don't want to pray for you. You deserve whatever you're going to get, because I told you to stay away from her. Yeah, you know what? Go back to his father and be like, you know what, Dad, I messed up. I did the same thing you did. I messed up. Like,
yeah, and you know, and in that scripture, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And so as we did see that pastor, you know, writing that letter, and you know, that's his way of going back to Christ. You know what I'm saying? Coming, you know, his repentance, right? And then, hey, can I be saved? Oh, sure, brother. Next thing you know, boom. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I still showed how, hey, still that gift of God is eternal life, you know, and still the Lord is still going to leave the 99 to chase that one sheep. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, again, without, I mean, I know we told the whole storyline, but it's better when it's seen and, you know, when you mm-hmm. actually see it play out. Yeah.
Look, I hope I told enough to make them go watch it.
Yeah. And, you know, when you was talking about you was hoping that he would convert it or whatever. Do you actually, Michael, think that it will be a part two to that movie?
Oh, man. I haven't even thought about it.
Okay.
Because the way it ends, you know, is like, oh, wow.
I see a part two.
No. Okay.
I see a part two. So you should think about it. Pray about it. And I think I see a part two. It doesn't just, you know, just because he passed away or what have you. Mm-hmm. I didn't see the movie, but I think you can kind of, I think I see a part two. Let me just leave it there. I see a part two. Yeah.
Because it is interesting of what happens to the third generation now.
Yeah.
Exactly. Some stuff is generational curses, right? Mm-hmm. Or some stuff is you have the father that committed adultery, the grandfather, you have the son. Now what happens to the grandson? Like, because that's what he had. Mm-hmm. He had a son, right?
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. See?
Let me just help you out. Let me just help you out right there. Let's hear from the perspective of the son, the man that has to grow up without a father. Because sometimes, what I noticed, I did not grow up with my father, but once I finally start having a relationship with my father after 18, after, you know, year of 18 and stuff, I realized that me and my father had a whole lot of similarities. And I did not grow up in the house with him. So it's just like some stuff is just like, or even just talk, you know, meeting my other family and stuff on my dad's side. It's just like, oh, wow. Like, I'm kind of like her, like kind of like my aunt. Or I get this from my grandmother on this side. And I did not grow up with him. But even though we say that, it's some stuff that comes through the generational. So do we have a generational curse breaker in there? Do we have someone that's going to say, you know what, I will not serve the same gods, the same idols. I will not do the same thing that my father did and my grandfather did, that somewhere this book has to stop. So somewhere, you know, we have to shift. So that is a good assessment, Keisha. It could be a part two from the perspective of the grandson, the third generation.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Michael, you're such a young man. What advice can you give someone that wants to go into filmmaking or that will, you know, what can you encourage someone that would like to go into the same industry that you're in?
Mm-hmm. Well, for one, I would have them always meditate on the scripture of a man's gift makes room for them and brings them before great men. And of course, a person's gift makes room for them and brings them before great people. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path.
Yes, yeah.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and then all of these things is going to be added unto you.
Yes.
And those are true. I mean, it's no one blueprint, do it like this, business and relationships and whatever. It's no one blueprint, because that would take the uniqueness out of everyone's individual journey. So, it's like, you know, as you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the Lord is going to download supernatural strategy, wisdom, knowledge, understanding inside of you. You're going to say, move here, walk here, talk to this person, do this, do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, and it's unique to everybody's journey. So that's why the Lord gave us the word of God, so that we can meditate on these things and watch the word of God literally transform our lives. So just tap in with the Lord Jesus Christ and, you know, just get strategy from him. He's going to tell you what to do. He's going to tell you what to say, who to network with and all that. And you don't got to be thirsty to do it, because that way you can keep your integrity and, you know, don't have to compromise your morals and that. And you can still talk freely as you would have to. And he's the one that elevates you. And he's the only one that gets the glory for doing it. Not this person put me on. No, the Lord put me on, you know?
Yeah, I love it.
So was these the three that you have out on Tubi, were those your very first ones that you written, or did the very first one make it to the big screen?
So The Wages of Sin was my first feature film. And so the first three, The Wages of Sin came first, The Keys of the Kingdom came second, and The Mother's Daughter came third. Before that, I did, like, you know, like a YouTube web series. I did, you know, just novicely doing stuff. And but like I said, The Wages of Sin, that was my first feature film. And yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So have you thought of another, are you currently writing a new feature?
Yeah, I'm working on two new movies right now. I already have the scripts done and everything. We already got the production companies and stuff we secured. I already got two new movies that I'm doing on a much higher profile level, much higher budgeted level. All glory to God. All glory to Jesus. Yeah.
Well, that is awesome. You have such a wonderful spirit. I just love, I'm grateful to meet you, grateful to sit in the platform with you to share, you know, as far as what you're doing. I'm grateful to meet you at this moment because you're so young, and a lot of times this generation gets so discouraged so easily this time, and when they're ready to follow their dreams and when they're ready to pursue them, they have so much coming at them, you know, depression, just anything, school, whatever that's going on, bullying, anything that they've went through in the past that would discourage them from moving, you know, to their dreams and their goals or vision that they have. And I believe this is a great, it's great interview to speak with you because, you know, a lot of young people, I hope that they can see, you know, what you've done and be encouraged to move forward with what they're doing. Because I tell you, we need more films like what you have written, book that you've written. We need more of that. And from the young person perspective, you know, it's a lot of older, you know, generation that's going, but you know, to hear from a younger person in the word and that is bringing forth, you know, what God says, and I just love it. I pray that you keep continuing to grow and go forward and do what you have, you know, God has called you to do, and just stay with it because we need more of that. And I can't wait to read your book, and I can't wait to see all the movies that you have out. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see them. And great job. Great job.
Oh, glory to God.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
So let's talk about the book, Almost Not Born. Can you give us a snippet of what this book is about?
Yeah. So it's about a young lady named Destiny. It's a fictional story about a young lady named Destiny who, just like her name, she has a big destiny. Satan doesn't like that. He doesn't want her to be born. You know, he almost succeeds at getting her aborted. Hence the title, Almost Not Born. Now that she's born, now that she's going through life, we see why Satan did not want her born. And matter of fact, we see Satan attacking her at a young age, you know. And it talks about the healing of trauma. And how the war is in the mind. And it Satan doesn't have any power over you. The only thing he can do is suggest a lie. And if you use your faith to buy into that lie, then the power that works within you is going to manifest that lie into reality. So the flip also works. If you use your faith and buy into the word of God, into faith, into what God tells you, the promises of God, your reality is going to manifest the promises of God. And so it's just the overall story of healing, you know, healing, you know. And I believe that this story will relate to every single person because everyone has a big destiny, and it's just about tapping into that once you get over the lies of the enemy, you know.
Awesome. So with this, you actually talk in my lane, because I'm all about mindset shifts and I'm all about mental health awareness. And a lot of times what happened is that some of us that have some of the biggest destinies upon us, that the enemy has to start early. He has to start in, because our mindsets are actually formed when we are, our mindset is actually formed when we are actually in our youth. You know, so how you see the world, how you see people, how you talk, how you perceive people, right? And so even in that, as we are going through that, then our mindset begins to start taking form. Mm-hmm. This is the same thing that happens once trauma comes. And so once trauma comes in those developmental stages in our brain, mm-hmm. now we have caused things that where it comes into a lot of sickness and stuff. A lot of the sickness and stuff that's attached to our bodies because we're holding on to trauma from our childhood. Mm-hmm. A lot of the things that are happening to us mentally is because the reason why we're depressed and stuff is because we're constantly replaying over and over in our mind certain events from either our childhood, something that somebody has said to us, something that somebody has done to us. And so until we actually shift our mind, change our mind, actually have the renewing of our mind, and that is actually, we don't realize that our mindset, some of the things that happen is because we are forming patterns of negative thinking, stinking thinking, toxic thinking. Mm-hmm. And so that's the reason why the Bible tells us, think on things that are true, think on things that are good. And so repeatedly, you have to condition your mind to get rid of those toxic thoughts. And so that is one thing, but another thing that happens that we will hold on to unforgiveness from our childhood, going back to wages of sin.
The wages of sin. You
know, well, I keep wanting to say wages of death, but wages of sin. going back to wages of sin, we'll hold on to something that somebody else have done, something that somebody else have said. Mm-hmm. In our childhood that we observe, whether they did it to us or directly or indirectly. And mm-hmm. so our mindset is so important. But for those that have, and I want to just say this, for those of you that have had stuff happen to you in childhood, it's mainly because of the destiny that is upon your life. And so he knew that he had to start earlier. He couldn't wait till you was 18. He had to wait till you was 8 months. He couldn't wait till you was 28. He had to wait till you was 8 weeks old before you start feeling neglected, before you was abandoned, until you start feeling rejection. And so some of us are rejected even in the womb. Some of us are going through stuff and we're being molested physically, are raped at such young age, not understanding. I promise you, I'm not just going to soul ties, but not understanding that spirits begin to enter into a child's body that they haven't even yet learned how to defeat yet. They haven't even learned how to actually overcome yet. They haven't even learned how to tie their shoes yet, and they're battling with demons that some grown people can't even cast up out. I'm gonna leave that alone. I'm gonna be quiet. Yeah. Go ahead, Keisha. I'm gonna be
it's
quiet.
It's that deep, though. It's that deep.
It is. It really is. Well, I want to ask this. I hope this is not a hard question. Can you discuss a common misconception you'd like to clear up?
A common misconception within what bounds?
In the community or in your industry right now. Based off of you're in this industry, and it's a misconception that's going around that people are confused about. Mm-hmm. That because, and it's probably because they're, and it's stopping them from moving forward. Mm-hmm. Is there something, or is a trend that you hear that you are aware of that it's like, oh, no, I wish that didn't ever come out, or what have you, that you think that you just want to just say no and want to just say, clear it up and just, you know,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that you disagree with it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I noticed within this industry, or, you know, with, I guess, different peers and stuff that I might have, that, you know, I mean, I see them taking applying the rat race type of mentality to their craft, feeling like they got to really just like struggle with it. When you tap into the Lord, he's going to tell you how to make certain power moves to where you don't have to waste time.
Yeah.
So that's why I would say that would be something that I want to clear up, is that you don't have to waste time doing this. You know, it doesn't have to take forever. Just tap in with the Lord, and he's going to literally show you how not to waste time. Matter of fact, how to redeem the time. You know what I'm saying?
I think they're trying to make it so perfect. It has to be in a certain role, you know, and this mm-hmm. has to be this way and that mm-hmm. way. And I believe we feel as though God is a perfect God. He mm-hmm. and he's an excellent God, and he mm-hmm. knows what we are assigned to do. And a lot of times we hear things around us, or we have people around us mm-hmm. that would try to discourage us to not, because, oh, that has happened with that person, mm-hmm. then you shouldn't do it because I heard about that particular celebrity and, mm-hmm. you know, it may happen to you. Mm-hmm. But, you know, because I can remember, I wanted to be a model when I was young, mm-hmm. okay? And my father, he discouraged me. He said, no, I don't want my daughter out there. They're gonna take advantage of her, and they're gonna mm-hmm. do this and do that. And they, you know, they may take her and just, you know, I may not see you again. It was so mm-hmm. much that he just scared me. And mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I don't want to go now. I don't want to do it. So now that I have a daughter, is 19, she's pursuing into modeling. I was like, oh, thank God, because that's mm-hmm. what I wanted to do. And now seeing her do it, mm-hmm. that's encouraging to me. So mm-hmm. hopefully, you know, as you know, time goes on, that we not allow discouragement or mm-hmm. someone else's story mm-hmm. discourage us from mm-hmm. moving into what God has for us. So I wanted to hear your side as far as that particular you know, subject, because I hear that a lot. I mm-hmm. do. I hear that. And I heard it, when I said, you know, with me, so it could happen real easily. So mm-hmm. I just pray that if anyone is listening, that they don't allow that to disturb yeah. them. So
I would say this, but I won't say it because I know spiritually, like, this is off. But it's a lot of dreams and a lot of visions, and it's a lot mm-hmm. of inventions buried in graveyards.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Because people have taken to the grave with them because they did not move out, because, as you were saying, Keisha, it wasn't perfect. And he might just told you, hey, write the script. And you're probably saying, write the script, write the script. But I don't have the actors. I don't have the funding. I don't have it. Yeah. And he's saying, I just need you to write. I need to see if you're going to go. Right. If you're going to listen to my first command, once I first command you to do a thing, and understand mm-hmm. that he that started a great work in you is going to see it to completion. Yes. And so are you actually going to believe that? And so a lot of times we be wanting the whole blueprint, when sometimes you just say, pack up your bags, and I need you to go into this land. I need you to move to this state. I need you to go and apply for this job. And you're saying, God, I'm not qualified. Like, we love to run back, God, our receipts. Like, hold on, God, you remember once this, that, and this happened, and such did. And she's like, no, because sometimes once people discourage us, some people self-project their own fears upon us. And that is a debilitating weapon that the enemy likes to use upon mm-hmm. believers is mm-hmm. fear. It's mm-hmm. fear of being broke, fear mm-hmm. of rejection, fear of lack, fear mm-hmm. of other people's opinion, fear that my movie or my book is not going to look like this person's movie or this mm-hmm. person's book. And so that's one of those things that we have to be very careful on. Right. And I think someone said, I think Jennifer, one of the people that was here, she's lucky that she have people around her that influence. You cannot tell your dreams, Joseph, to everybody. You mm-hmm. have to be careful in who you tell your dreams to, because mm-hmm. what they will do, they will actually throw you into a pit. They will actually plot your death. They will actually try to make you abort the vision. We talk about abortion in the physical. Let's talk about mm-hmm. it in the spiritual. Mm-hmm. You will abort the vision. You will abort the dream. You will abort mm-hmm. the book. You will abort the play. Mm-hmm. Abort the clothing line. You abort the kingdom assignment. Can I go there?
Please.
You abort what it is that God has told you to do. You abort the mandate that he's called you. You abort the purpose in which you were actually called here for, because you wasn't called here for the nice clothes and the fancy hats and all this other stuff.
Right.
He called you in media for a reason. He called you to the marketplace for a reason. Mm-hmm. So you have to actually know what it is and make sure, hey, whatever I release, that I'm doing it for the glory of God, that I'm seeking first him. And as I seek him first, I don't have to worry about that, because everything else he's going to take care of.
Yes.
I love me.
Hallelujah.
Did you want to add something to that, Michael?
Oof, man. Man, I mean, yeah, yeah. And to also want to add that, you know, I don't want anybody, because our purpose here is so much greater, right? We came here and Satan said, okay, I'm gonna give y'all some distractions. Hmm. I'm gonna put y'all in the rat race, this Babylon mm-hmm. system, this 9-to-5 matrix, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we in there, but now let's plan to get out. Let's plan to, you know, use with the Lord, the business ideas and stuff. Like you said, go into the marketplace and dominate. The wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous for a reason. So go grab that wealth, because they have a lot of wealth. Now we mm-hmm. take that wealth and we use it to win souls for Jesus.
Right.
That's it. We and can't I get think, distracted.
And you sorry, know, and I think too, we need to also make sure we are in our own lane. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we think that because they're doing it and she did that and he did that, I could do that too. But that might not be your assignment. That mm-hmm. might not be what God has for you. And you have to hear God, like you said earlier, be led by God, you know, yes. as in other words, allow God to tell you and to direct you into mm-hmm. what you need to do. We have mm-hmm. dreams, we have goals, we have all that, but his plan is not our plan. Right. You know, a lot of times, and we have to make sure that our plan is lined up with his. Amen. And just because she doing it or he doing mm-hmm. it, if that is something that God has, you know, instructed you to do, mm-hmm. yes, do it, because if it's for the kingdom of God and to glorify him. But a lot of times we can be all out our lanes. We in everybody else's lane and we just doing extra stuff. And mm-hmm. we wonder why things don't go smoothly like it does, because we're doing so much. We're doing everything, yeah. you know. Yeah. So we just need to stay in our own lane. Yeah. Yeah. So that's yeah. good. That is really good. Yeah.
It comes with imposter syndrome. And the reason why we have imposter syndrome is because we don't know our identity in Christ. Yeah. And so we find our identity in everything else. We find our identity in our status, and we find yeah. our identity in our money. We find our identity yeah. in being a husband or a wife. We find our identity in being a preacher, a pastor, whatever he's yeah. called you. We find our identity in our jobs. We find yeah. we find our yeah. identity in everything in Christ. But once you find your identity in Christ, then right. you can move authentically in who he created yes. you to be. And so now yeah. I'm not worried about what you're doing or what you're doing. I'm not worried about what type of show you have or what type right. of show you have. I'm not worried about whether you have a new car or that, because my yeah. identity is not focused around that. And I yeah. don't have to compete with you. I can cheer you on, even if we're in the same lane, even if yeah. we're doing the same thing. And so yes. it's one of those things where we have a lot of people nowadays that do not know their identity. And that's where the media aspect of it comes so important, vital for people mm-hmm. of kingdom to get into the media, because once we're yeah. not now, yeah. now we're allowing them to see certain things, and now they're finding their identity, and they're trying to look like Beyonce, and they're trying yeah. to talk like Steve Harvey, and they're trying yeah. to do certain, and they're finding mm-hmm. they're making idols. Mm-hmm. Our golden cows aren't not little images anymore. Our golden calves have actually became celebrities. Awesome. Our golden cows have became other people's houses and other people's right. cars and right. other people's 10 seconds images or whatever that they're posting on social media. So yeah. this is why in kingdom is so important for us to actually move out in marketplace ministry, because mm-hmm. as you move out into marketplace ministry, now we are bringing light into an area that is so dark. The industry yeah. is so dark. And so if we don't actually show up and actually shine that light and actually be the light for those, wow. if we don't actually.
Yes.
We have to actually do our part.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's very important. So I yeah. commend you, Michael, for saying, you know what, let me give them something that's transparent. I understand that they like the drama or so, but let me bridge that gap between mm-hmm. what was written mm-hmm. in the Old Testament, what was written in the New Testament, and what is mm-hmm. going on in modern day world. And the way I'm going to do that is through the movies. The way I'm going to mm-hmm. do that is through the book writing. So it's good that mm-hmm. you are actually in that field to actually say, this is what needs to go forth. They need mm-hmm. to see that, hey, if you're in this situation, you don't handle it in a worldly way, because mm-hmm. again, the wages of sin is death. So we don't handle it as the world do. We don't fight as the way that the world do, but we understand that you have these temptations. We understand that you have these struggles. We understand you have these trials and tribulations. And so we actually have to be about our Father business. And so we have to understand not all of us are called to pulpits. Some of us are called to social media. Some are media. Some of us are called into the filming industry. Some of us are called into the clothing industry. Some of us are called into politics or government. And so whatever area he's in, go and show up authentically. You embossed your own lane.
Yes, most definitely.
Exactly. And bold, become boldly.
Bold, yes. 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 When you have, like she said, when you know who you are, though, that confidence will come. That boldness will all be there because you know who you are and you know whose you are. Mm-hmm. So, that's going to all line up together. So,
hallelujah.
Yeah. Praise God for that word. That was awesome. Yes, definitely.
Michael, what would you say to speaking on this lane? Let's stay in this lane just a little bit as we get ready to close out. Mm-hmm. Compromising.
You said, what would I say to that?
This.
Please don't. Because although you might get the Happy Meal toys, right, in the beginning, man, Satan gonna come to collect.
Yeah.
And when he do it, he come to collect at the worst time, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? To where it's like, man, them toys didn't even matter. Them toys, it make it like, man, did I even get toys? You know what I'm saying? Mm. But when you do it, when you really do it God's way, not only do you get there in a way that's satisfying, but those around you get there in a way that's satisfying. And you literally see how your destiny is tied to other people, and you literally see how souls are won because of your obedience. So it's more, and then you get to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen. You only get one life at this, so why waste it with distractions and stuff that don't matter, stuff that's going to burn up, you know, in the end. Because remember, our works are going to be, you know, tried by the fire in judgment. You know what I'm saying? And all the only thing that we did for Christ will last. All the other stuff, if we worked a job for 60 years, didn't tell nobody about Christ or didn't even do that, but we made money, we had a good government job, good benefit, but we went to church on Sunday. That's the only thing that's going, you went to church. Cool. You know, everything else. So just use this life to, like, don't be distracted. You know what I'm saying? Like use this life to really use your creativity to win souls for Jesus. That's it.
I love it.
Yeah. What would you say is one of the, and this is our last question for tonight, I guess. What would you say is one of the biggest ways that the enemy is deceiving Christians and Christians and non-Christians, believers and non-believers? Mm-hmm. What are the things that you are seeing as his biggest deception right now?
The biggest deception is money. Jesus said a person can either serve God or mammon. Other translations say God or money. And you see, Jesus didn't even say Satan. He said God or money. He said, you want to either love one, hate the other, cleave to one, and despise the other. Nobody can serve both God and money. Mm-hmm. So Satan uses money. See, money is not the root of all evil. The love of money is. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so he uses money because he knows that if God's people use the money for God, souls is going to be won. Souls are going to be saved. So he goes, you know, let me dangle this money in front of you because I know you're not going to follow me because I'm Satan. So let me... You're going to like this money, though. I'm controlling the money. You know what I'm saying? So I would say that's one of the biggest deceptions he uses is money, and then the fear of lacking money, because the Lord makes it rain on the just and the unjust. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like if he provides for the birds, he provides for everybody else. He's going to provide for everybody. It's just your mentality of lack is what's going to project in your reality. So if he can get you thinking, oh, you're going to lack money and you need money for this and that, you're just going to be in a lack state, then you'll bow down to that, you know? So you can either serve God or money.
That is awesome.
That is.
Well, tell the people again how they can connect with you, where they can watch your movies, and the name of your book again, and where they can find it.
Yes. So you can connect with me at I am Cleos, IAMKLEOS on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. I don't really get on Twitter like that anyway, but I am Cleos, IAMKLEOS. My Facebook is Michael Cleos Chin. My movies, I have 3 movies out on Tubi that are free to stream. The Wages of Sin, Christian drama, A Mother's Daughter, another Christian drama, and The Keys of the Kingdom, a Christian superhero movie. And then our book is available to purchase on Amazon. It's called Almost Not Born. I'm available for youth conferences, speaking engagements, workshops. If you want to collab on a film together, whatever the case may be, contact my manager, Apostle Burrow Howard, and her number is 910-644-1824. Again, that's 910-644-1824. I'm here to connect, and I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. That is awesome. And hey, you connected with Apostle Vera Harrell, I know she's going to take you far. So,
yeah. Hey, continue to let her lead you.
Great. Well, thank you for coming out, and you know, hey, you're welcome to come on the show anytime. Yes. And you know, it was a pleasure to interview you on today, and so wish you luck on your filming and you know, more books to come. And so just thank you for coming on, robbery to come on and just sit and talk with us on today.
Yes. Thank you.
Look, the pleasure is mine. Thank you for having me. I truly enjoy myself.
Awesome.
We enjoyed you. I enjoyed you as well. So blessings to you and your beautiful wife. So So thank you for coming on. I enjoyed you. I really did. So
likewise.
Amen. We'll see y'all next Wednesday night here on Anointed Radio Network.
Bye-bye.